Is up, guys. Welcome to the Think Computer's weekly tech podcast. This is episode 487, and it's a very special day because it's Ryan's birthday.
It's my birthday.
Yeah. I wish we could do like the little
some confetti animated, that shoots in.
Yeah.
You could. You just, you know.
Is there something on here that I we don't can know. Do that?
Like reactions or something?
Yeah, I don't know. But big happy birthday to Ryan. How old are you?
44.
Ooh, big old 4-4.
He sent me a 50. He's like, oh, the big 5-0. And I was like, no.
you're almost halfway there.
I know.
How does it, did you do anything exciting for your birthday?
No, I took the day off because we get like a birthday PTO that you can use, you know.
Oh, so nice.
Took the day off and I just played video games almost all day.
That's a good birthday. I always feel like it's a really good birthday. I feel like birthday and then like holiday time, because like I always say during the holidays, instead of hanging out with the in-laws, you go downstairs and you sneak away and you play video games. So that's awesome. Well,
yep.
So yeah, guys, if you're in the live chat, definitely say happy birthday to Ryan out here. And this week's episode is brought to you by our friends over at ASRock and their liquid CPU coolers. So we already talked about this because we reviewed a handful of these already, and we're going to talk about one in this episode. Yep. But if you go to thinkcomputers.org/ASRock AIO, it's right there on the screen. You can check out some of their latest AIOs. And we've talked about this before, but these are their like first run of liquid CPU coolers. And what's really cool is ASRock makes graphics cards as well as mostly known for motherboards. And they've styled and designed these after their lines of motherboards and graphics cards. So like there's a Phantom Gaming, there's Steel Legend, there's a Challenger series, and then there's the Pro series. And there is a Tai Chi, which I did get to see, but they don't have it on their website yet. Well, I don't know why that is. Maybe it's not out yet. But there is a Tai Chi as well that I got to see at CES. Maybe they'll launch it around Computex Climb, which is coming up. But Ryan, I mean, what do you, you've reviewed a handful of these, and we'll get into the one that you took a look at this week, but for like a company's first run of liquid CPU coolers, like what are your just kind of like main overview thoughts?
Good first impression. And that kind of goes back, like both of them have been good, and I'll kind of talk about why that is or why they're so similar to each other, because they are very similar, but then they have very distinct differences as well. But just like they've done just about everything what you want out of a cooler. So
nice. Well, like I said, guys, thinkcomputers.org/ASRock AIO, and that will bring up all of their AIOs, and you can take a look and see if you want to go ahead and pick one up. And like I said, we will be talking about one in this episode. We're also going to be talking about a very affordable PC case, which has some quirks, but it definitely may be worth it considering the price. We'll talk about NVIDIA's, what is it called? Their neural texture compression and what that means for VRAM usage. And we could see lower VRAM on graphics cards, which is kind of scary. Corsair put out a very much fractal design north looking case, a reversion that looks like that. For some reason, Asus has released networking products under the ProArt line, which is kind of odd. More stuff with Windows 11 kind of upsetting people, and Copilot definitely upsetting people. OnePlus, who makes really good phones. And I actually have a pair of their earbuds and over-ear headphones. They're really, really nice. It looks like they might be entering the mobile gaming or the gaming handheld market. And we have some Steam news as well. And we're going to be talking about tech for the next about hour. So definitely just hang out. And if you have any questions, of course, ask it in the live chat. And we do have our full show notes page. That's going to show you everything that we're going to be talking about with links to everything. So again, if you see something and you're like, what was that? I forget what they were talking about. How do I get more information? It's all right here on our show notes page. So we're going to go ahead and start things out with that very affordable PC case. And this is actually from a brand called Sama. And Ryan got a chance to take a look at one of their AIOs. I took a look at one of their air coolers, and now I'm getting the chance to take a look at one of their cases. And Sama has been an OEM for about 20 years. So essentially they've made other brands' products, but they've decided to make their own products under their own name and kind of release them. And they've been doing that for about the past like year and a half to 2 years in the US on Amazon. So if you saw like a Sama CPU cooler that was like really affordable or a case or something like that, that's kind of what they're doing. So I took a look at their V62. And the thing I actually really like about Sama is that their product names are like pretty short.
Short. Yep. Yep.
Yeah. It's like short and sweet. Like, especially when it comes to like, certain brands, you're like, it's the da da da, like it's like four different names and, in the thing, and yeah. It's like,
and those long names, like they may make sense, like they may have like characters and numbers that like talk about the size and the shape and everything, which is nice, but they just get so long and they're hard to remember and just like say even sometimes. So
yeah, so this is a V62. It is your aquarium style PC case. It is a very compact mid tower, and it's very affordable. So it's right around $125. Aquarium style.
Come with all those fans?
It does come with all those fans. Ooh, which we'll get into. So
okay,
aquarium style, curved front panel, but it's a split panel. I don't know if you guys remember the MSI case we took a look at was a single piece of glass. This is two pieces of glass, but the front piece of glass is curved, and then it splits into your side panel. A lot more cost effective to do two panels than a single panel when it comes to the manufacturing, which is fine. And pretty much like, again, it's like your very standard aquarium style glass on the front, glass on the side. You know, you can see directly into the case there. And then on the front, we have our power button, USB 3.2 Gen 2x2, which again, for a kind of affordable case, it's nice to see that. This button is actually not a reset button. It is an LED button, which will control all of those fans, which we'll get into, which is definitely nice. Talking about all those fans, you have three in the side mounts, three in the bottom, and one on the rear. So seven included fans with this case. These are all 120 millimeter fans. And then you have the top here, which you can install two 140 millimeter fans or three 120 millimeter fans or a 360 millimeter radiator. So if you were going to do, you know, like a AIO for your CPU, just, you know, you have enough room to go ahead and do that, which is definitely nice there. And again, you can see the top here. It's not a removable bracket or anything like that. It's just built into the top of the case. And of course, you do have your filter there at the top. Magnetic filter, pretty easy to go ahead and remove. Now, as far as the design of the case, this is your standard compact dual compartment. And if you're familiar with the compact dual compartment, on one side, you're going to have your motherboard mounts. And of course, there's that rear fan. And then on the opposite side, you're going to have your storage and you're going to have your power supply mounts. But your power supply is, of course, going to be a vertical orientation. That's, of course, to keep the sort of compact form factor that you see here. This does support full ATX power supplies, which is definitely nice there. Pretty much like no frills case. There's not much to it. Both side panels are held in by thumb screws. Those thumb screws are not captive, which I haven't seen in a while, actually. I'm used to captive thumb screws. So if you do take the thumb screws off, of course, don't misplace them or drop them because, you know, that's just, yeah. So I'm just used to captive thumb screws, I guess. But yeah, seven expansion slots internally, or actually, before we get inside, the opposite side panel, is ventilated. So you have the side mount ventilation and then you have ventilation where your storage and your power supply goes, because of course you're going to need that because it is in that vertical orientation. So that's the outside of the case. And then getting inside, removing the side panel is really easy. There are two thumb screws, like I said, and it removes just like a normal panel. So you pull it off from the side. You don't like, it doesn't like release and then kind of pop off or come up from the center. You pull it off like a normal panel. So it is pretty easy to come off, and then we can get a look inside. As far as motherboard support, this is Mini ATX, Micro ATX, and ATX with support for back connect motherboards. So that is definitely nice there. And of course, you can see all of those fans. And talking about those fans, all of these fans are pre-wired to a controller. And it's a wiring mess. We saw this on the MSI case, actually. Yeah. This is what it looks like.
Whoa. Yeah. That's
yeah. A mess. The controller is both a fan and a RGB controller, which is nice. So all the fans connect to this, all the RGB connections connect to this as well. So if you have 7 fans with 2 connections, that's 14 cables.
Yep.
All connecting in here. So I just, like I said, MSI did this too. It was just like, it's just a mess of cables. It's a lot of cables. And
yeah, this is, you know, I always bring up like daisy chaining now and all these fans that come on radiators and AIOs. It helps so much. And this is exactly why.
Yeah, it's just kind of a mess down there. And the like, so that's the back of the case, obviously. Your power supply is going to go here. This is a storage bracket. And then this is like how it's shipped. Like there's all the cables down there. Like I said, it is kind of a mess. The storage bracket right here is fully removable. It will support 2 2.5-inch SSDs or a single 3.5-inch hard drive. And then there is actually a bracket on the front of the case. It is actually hidden right here. That can support an SSD as well. So out of the box, 3 hard drives. This is a pretty compact case, so that's not horrible, I would say. You can see this is what the bracket looks like when it's removed. And again, just the wiring mess. Now, this controller is connected to that front button for changing RGB and the effects. You can just connect it straight ARGB into your motherboard. You do have to connect a SATA cable to power it. And then there's also a PWM that comes off that you'll connect to your motherboard for PWM control of the fans. One thing that is nice that there are a lot of like cases right around this price range that say they come with 6 fans or 7 fans or whatever, but they're not PWM. That's why they can get away with that price. You know what I mean? Right. Yep. These are true PWM fans. So again, you will get, you know, they're going to ramp up and ramp down depending on your CPU temperature, which is kind of what you want for the most part. And you can control them, right, with your motherboard's fan software. So you do get that PWM that's going to connect right to your motherboard. And overall, like, the design of the case isn't all that bad. I did run into a couple things when it came to installation. One of the things which is odd is that when I went to install my motherboard, not all the standoffs were installed on the motherboard tray. So they had the standoffs installed like these, just the last 3, like this one, this screw, this screw, and this screw. Everything else was installed, but just these last 3 screws, last 3 standoffs. So that was kind of weird. Like I put it in there and then I realized that they weren't there. Cause like I haven't reviewed a case where the standoffs weren't all installed. So that was kind of annoying. And then you really want to make sure that you connect these bottom connections before you even put your motherboard in there. And I mean, connect everything. Because once you put your motherboard in here, all of these connections are essentially inaccessible, not only because they're blocked by the fans, but because there's like literally no room under the motherboard to even like it's just enough room to fit the cable, meaning that you have to route the cable because the connector won't go on. The case isn't big enough for the actual connector to go through unless you do it before you install your motherboard. Now, this again, if you do it correctly, it's not a big deal. But like I have an air cooler. Say I upgrade to an AIO. I have to route that USB 2.0 to the bottom of my case.
Exactly.
That means I have to remove my motherboard fully from the case or anything that I'm connecting. I have to remove the motherboard fully. So that is not the biggest fan of that. So, and again, this bottom slot is essentially, unless you're using like something incredibly small, like a
M.2,
an M.2
add-in card, maybe,
or something. It's essentially going to be blocked as well. It's going to depend on your motherboard, but essentially, if you were planning to use something like that, something down here, it will be blocked as well. So keep that in mind. Power supply goes in really easily, as you can see, just right in the back, connects right there. Of course, you want to install it with the fan facing, of course, the ventilation on the back. Graphics card goes in no problem. This supports very long graphics cards and CPU coolers up to 160 millimeters. So all of that went in no problem. Hard drives go on, of course, the bracket. You can, of course, take it off. So really easy to go ahead and do. You want to install the connections for your hard drives facing the bottom, because if you install them facing the top, which I did, you're going to get blocked here by the power supply. So that was my mistake. But it is pretty tight down here, as you can see, and especially with all of these cables. Another thing worth mentioning is that this hard drive bracket, once you reinstall it, you don't have access to really route any of your cables or anything. So this is going to be the last thing you want to install. Again, not the biggest deal, but when it comes to like maintenance, or, you know, and maybe you install a new graphics card and you need to run a different cable or whatever, you would have to fully remove this to access everything. So that those are the kind of, I wouldn't say troubles, but, you know, like I said, here's the final thing. They do include these cable ties right here. And they also include zip ties if you need to zip tie everything. Like I said, everything came out pretty clean for me. Really clean build, really solid build. None of the biggest, like I said, no real big issues, but you just have to like kind of think out your build before you do it. And it would just be really annoying to like install everything and then have to run a cable under the motherboard and then have to fully remove your graphics card, your motherboard out of the case. So worth, like I said, just take your time when you're doing it. Of course, the star of the show of this is going to be the lighting. Here's what it looks like with those 7 included fans on. There's also an RGB strip that goes around the outside of the case, which is nice. And everything is in order synced because there's different effects on this. So you have all your different colors, and then there's a fading effect. There is like a marquee effect where like the colors cycle down through, which is kind of cool. And it's in order, which is good.
Which is very good. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's all in order. No software. Again, you do it all from the front of the case. So this is what it looks like. Quite nice. And then these fans do have infinity mirrors on the side as well as in the center. And they do look, like I said, they do look really, really good. You do get rainbow wave as well. Of course, you know, being an ARGB, but here's what those like little infinity mirrors look like. Like I said, it looks quite good. And there's that RGB strip. Like I said, here's it without the lights on. Like it's a nice look. Your system's going to look really nice. And again, it is good to go out of the box. You really don't need to buy any more fans if you really don't want to. I like the way this looks, and you can see those little infinity mirrors on the side here. That's what the front of the case looks like. And of course, the power button lights up when you turn your system on. So looks really, really good. Performance is going to be good. The noise levels were in check. No real issues with anything as far as performance. The fans aren't loud because they're PWM, so you don't have to worry about that. And I think for $125, it's not bad. You know, it does not have the fit and finish that like a Fractal Design case has, or like a Corsair has, right? It's just certain things I feel like weren't thought out as much with this case. But again, if you can get over those things and you're getting 7 included fans with the controller, and it looks,
yeah, it looks good.
Yeah, it looks awesome.
Kind of surprised about those fit and finish items, because like you said, they're kind of have been working as an OEM for a lot of companies for quite a while. And like those would be things that hopefully, you know, your customers that they build cases for would have brought up. So they kind of know about those types of things.
Yeah, I think
it's interesting.
I think the biggest thing is that with this case, you know, if they made it slightly taller,
right, you would have bottom cutouts and
DRM. You would have, yeah, the bottom cutouts would be fine. I think that that's kind of the bigger, the thing. And then that hard drive bracket, again, like with other cases, like we've seen other cases support just as many hard drives. And it's like, one, a single thumb screw. And then two is that it doesn't block, like it's not blocking the entire back of the case either. Yep. So, but I think again, if you follow the instructions and or wiring everything before you put the motherboard in, it's not in the instructions. But if you follow my instructions, or you can kind of see things as they're, you know, that's what I had to do. You'll be fine. You know, it could be a little bit frustrating, but I think for most people, again, you're doing the build once for the most part. But I think any type of upgrade in here where you have to route cables is going to be annoying. You're going to at least have to take the hard drive section out, which means you're going to have to disconnect your hard drives if they're in there, take it out, do your wiring, put it all back. It's a little tedious. It's not the end of the world. And it's $124.99 on Amazon right now, which isn't that bad. No, I gave it a 7 out of 10. I like the price. I like the design. It does support back connect motherboards. And there are 7 included ARGB fans with the controller. Things I didn't like about it. Not all the motherboard standoffs being installed is kind of weird. And again, like I'm used to this. Like I know that they're missing, but like a first time user.
Right.
You know, like they don't know. Again, you really can't route bottom motherboard cables once the motherboard is installed. Fans are going to likely block the bottom expansion slots. You need to remove that storage bracket to access the backside of the case, essentially, and do your cable routing. And then again, that fan wiring to the controller is just messy. And we saw that even with the MSI case that I recently took a look at too. And I think it's because they're using less expensive fans that aren't daisy chained with a single connection. So it's, you know, that's where you're getting this $124.99 price, is that you're getting the fans that each fan has a PWM connection and an ARGB connection. But for the price, I don't think it's that bad. Again, you're just going to miss the fit and finish you would get from like a more expensive case from somebody else, I would say. Old man says he likes the white version of the case. Yeah, there's a white version. I'm not sure if I mentioned that, but yeah, they offer it in black and white. And like I said, it's not all that bad of a case. So definitely go ahead and check out my review. We also posted a short form video on our social media if you want to check that out as well. And Ryan, since we talked about it earlier in the podcast, Ryan took a look at a AIO from ASRock. It's their Steel Legend 360. And this is the one that actually is, well, beyond the Tai Chi, because I really like the Tai Chi. Beyond the Tai Chi, this is actually probably my like second favorite one that they showed when I got to see them at CES.
Okay. Cool. Yeah, and I like, you mentioned this you know, featured image. I think this featured image turned out really nice. There's just this,
it's one of the better combo pictures it's you've like, taken.
Yeah. It's like this peachy pink look, and yeah, it turned out.
Well, the thing is too, is I didn't even realize it at the when I looked at this photo, but you're also using an ASRock Steel Legend motherboard, so it really goes together. Yeah.
Yep.
I didn't even notice that, actually. So not planned, obviously.
No. That's just the board that we're using in this test. So yeah, I took a look at our second ASRock all-in-one cooler. Like Bob mentioned, we had looked at the Phantom Gaming previously. This is the Steel Legend 360 LCD. Obviously, as the name implies, it's a 360-millimeter radiator paired up with 3 120-millimeter fans. It does have, as you can see in that picture, a nice LCD screen, 3.4-inch there. And hidden kind of behind that, with that glow of lighting, is a nice little 70-millimeter VRM fan to keep your power components and just those components surrounding your CPU cool as well. So that, you know, helps out with, you know, underload and overclocking, things like that, helping keep those components cool for more stable temperatures and things like that. So just a really nice unboxing again with ASRock. Just really impressed with these first impressions that we're getting on these all-in-one coolers. Everything's nice and labeled on the inside, so you know exactly what's in each compartment. Not that it's like confusing usually, but it's just nice to have things labeled.
I think for like a first timer, it could be.
Yep. Yeah, there's potential. Like sometimes it's just like, you know, compartments with bags, and like sometimes even the accessories aren't labeled real well, right? Like all these bags are labeled, the boxes that they come in are labeled, so on and so forth. So we obviously get our mounting hardware for Intel and AMD platforms. You get some mounting or some clips that go on the tubes to keep them kind of organized. You've got some cabling in there that we'll talk about here in a minute that's going to connect to your LCD screen and then back to your motherboard. You get some thermal paste and a little spreader, plus a nice installation manual, which is always nice. I always harp on that. Having that nice physical manual is very nice for installation. So quick look here at the cooler. And this is a quick shot of it with that LCD screen removed. It's held on with magnets. And I kind of alluded to this early on in the podcast about how these machines or these AIOs are very similar. Well, that's because they essentially have the same pump housing design between the two. So same pump housing design. They got the same fan design, lighting, everything on that end of the cooler is the same. Where we have some differences are number one on the radiator. It is your standard 360 millimeter radiator, but this is a 27 millimeter thick, whereas the Phantom Gaming was actually 30 millimeters, I believe, right? So that's a little difference there between the two, which I like. I like more than just an aesthetic differentiator between these product lines. Although I think they probably could have gotten away with just aesthetics. I'm glad that it's not just that for that. So pretty standard aluminum radiator here. It is, like I said, 27 millimeters thick with a fin per inch rating of 20. So kind of right in that average of 20 to 22 that we see on most radiators. We did get the white version of this cooler. It does come in black as well. Right now, it's just a 360 millimeter option. Maybe in the future, they'll give it a 240, but right now, just a 360 black or white. Just a little bit of branding on the side of the radiator and Steel Legend branding on the sides of the fans, which we'll talk about here in a minute. Your standard end cap on the radiator with braided lines. Nice and flexible, and just about the right length I like to see on all in one. Sometimes you get them a little too short and it makes installation and just, you know, maneuvering them around some, and then sometimes they're too long and they like want to bump into your graphics card, or they're like pushing up against the side panel, you know, and just look odd. So we got a good setup here with these. Moving over to that pump housing again, like I mentioned, 70 millimeter fan on top of the pump that kind of sits hidden underneath the screen. And that screen's held on by magnets. And as you can see here in these corners, we got four little contact areas. That's because you can rotate that screen in 90 degree increments. And that just allows for connectivity no matter what rotation setting you have there, so that you got a nice connectivity. That fan will run up to 3000 RPM. And at that size of a fan, that can be pretty loud, right? So
yeah.
You know, use your software and connections, you know, or your fan controllers to maybe bump that down so you don't have to hear the whine of that. And that's one of the things that I do want to mention is there's, you know, you got a PWM connection for the pump on your water block. And then you have a USB cable that connects and helps control this fan. And then you got a cable that controls the fans on the radiator. So we got a lot of different connections going on with this cooler in order to give us all that functionality. So and along with that comes multiple pieces of software or controllers needed to utilize it. But we'll get more to that in just a minute. Standard rotating fittings on the ends that make contact with that pump. And then you've got just the single PWM cable coming out the side for that pump powering. Like I mentioned, same exact design as the Phantom Gaming on the pump and the, you know, reservoir here. So you've got the pump down below, then you've got your fan up top, and just kind of like a directing shroud to help guide the air from that fan to the components that are surrounding it. So exact same design. I even got the Phantom Gaming back out and kind of held them hand in hand and looked at them. Yeah, same exact design. And I think that makes sense, right? From a tooling perspective, a design perspective, you don't have to start from scratch. You can go with maybe something that works well for you. And again, make those changes in the differences between them, the radiator thickness size, the different fans on there, things like that. You can differentiate some of those performance characteristics. So Just a really good design, though. I really like it. It uses a universal mounting bracket on the bottom as well, so you don't have to swap out for AMD or Intel like systems. That. It's universal. Really great option there. Just a nice copper base, really large, so it's going to work with, you know, your Intel, your AMD CPUs. Not having an image pop up here, I was just going to zoom in on it a bit. But it's a nice satin finish there on the bottom. There is no paste installed from the factory, so thankfully that syringe of thermal paste is there in the box, and you can utilize that as you need. I did not on this cooler forget to take the little sticker off like I did on the last review, so I like double and triple checked this.
Yeah, once you do it once, you're like, ugh.
I'm like, never again. Yep.
Well, no, it will happen again.
It's, oh, I'm sure it will. It will happen again. Speaking of that screen, though, back to it, 3.4-inch LCD. We have a 480 by 480 resolution, and it's a nice and smooth 60 hertz refresh rate. So, you know, you get a nice nice visuals there. It's nice and crisp, nice and fluid movement of those visuals on the screen, which I really like. And then along the sides, you know, Bob mentioned, yeah, we're running this on a Steel Legend motherboard. So the design language on here just is very reminiscent of Steel Legend products, kind of like the Phantom Gaming look, looks like Phantom Gaming hardware. Same thing here with the Steel Legend. And I'll show you another shot here that kind of explains that. This is just a shot inside of that LCD cap. You can see the magnets in the corners, plus 16 ARGB LEDs surrounding it. So you get a nice glow underneath. You have a lot of RGBs, LEDs there, so that your color shifts are nice and smooth. It doesn't like jump from one LED to another, yeah, which is really nice. And there's that like Steel Legend badge that kind of sits on the top edge of the screen. And the same thing with the Phantom Gaming. It's really cool look, and I like this feature, but you can't really see it because it sits in between on the top of your cooler, and then the radiator's right on top of it. So you don't get to see this. So you kind of miss out on that. And then, of course, we have a USB Type-C connection on the bottom that powers and controls the screen and the fan underneath. So, here's a look at those Steel Legend fans. These are really nice fans, real heavy duty, nice ball bearings in there. We got rubber pads at the corners, just a really good fan. As you can see, along the edges of those fan blades, they're all connected. That's going to help guide airflow down through the radiator, so that you get the most bang for your buck with that airflow going through there. And then these are daisy chained fans, and we have a single connection coming out the end. That is just a PWM connection because these fans do not have any lighting on them, so it is a lot less cable to manage.
Are they like click in daisy chained, or is there cabling between each fan?
They're like click in because they're clicked into each other.
Nice.
Yeah, I don't have a shot, I don't think, but along the edges, there's no like cables
The sides or anything. So they're like clicked in. Okay, cool.
Yep. Nice and sleek, for sure. Installation, super easy. Like I mentioned, fans come attached to the radiator, so that's one step you don't have to take. You do have to remove the factory AMD motherboard mounting hardware if you are on AMD, and they provide you with alternative mounting hardware to utilize that universal bracket on the CPU, and then you just put it in there, tighten things up, get your radiator in.
That looks nice in your system.
It does, like the all white look. Like I'm looking at it here because it's right behind me, and I just had this black and red video card, and I was like, man, I wish I had a white GPU. That'd look really nice, you know. But yes, it does look really nice. It does look good with the Steel Legend motherboard, like you mentioned. Let's see here. And then we do have an application polychrome display that's used to control and configure the LCD display. You got a couple menus in there. You get like an overview that's kind of like a more graphically pleasing task manager. You can take a look at the hardware that's on your system if you want. And then you can customize what is shown on the screen. Now it does, from the factory, ASRock does supply 6 default screen designs and animations, but you can customize those with your custom imagery, and you can make all sorts of edits on there inside of the software for a custom theme. So you can change your background, put different temperatures and ratings on there.
Does it support video?
It does, but they're really like, it's not like you can show a whole movie or anything like that, right? We've got some
But you can like, it supports limits, like an MP4 and like certain size limits. Okay,
cool. Yep, absolutely. which I really like. And I, you know, like I mentioned, they've done a lot to utilize the same hardware. So this software looked exactly the same when we were on the Phantom Gaming, and it is the same application, right? But it's nice that it's the same throughout, because really they're using the same screen hardware as well. From these two coolers, and here's a couple shots of it. I think this looks really nice. I love that the glow that you get.
Yeah, it's one of, like I said, it's one of the LEDs. Better looking AI like pump block LCD. You know, some of them are super clean, but this one's sort of like, yeah, I really like it. Just the way that it looks
really nice.
Yeah,
really happy with fit and finish on this cooler. Nice. Performance. What we all really care about is really good. It's, you know, towards the top of our charts so far. We've got about six coolers that we've ran through this test bench so far. And it performs mid range to top performing, right, on idle and load, which is really nice. Now, one thing I will mention is those fans that come with this, they spin up to, although ASRock says they are up to 2,500 RPM. They reach almost 2,800 RPM at 100%. And in our max temperature or our max load, max, you know, power settings, they are definitely the loudest fans in and it's like a lot.
I have a Li and Li AIO. And I think it's just it's a Li and Li AIO. But like when I first turn on my system, my fans all go at 100%.
Sure.
And it sounds like a jet engine. Sometimes
I believe it.
Yeah.
But yeah, it performed really well. Like I said, just really nice performance out of this cooler. Noise, you know, at lower RPMs, those fans are nice and quiet. But as soon as you get up to the top, and it's actually a pretty big difference. It's almost a 11 dB difference between our quietest and loudest at max. Now, that doesn't mean that they're running at the same speed, but just their max temperatures
or max
noise output. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But it's second to the top at our 2000 RPM speed. So they do get quite loud at full speed. But overall, really happy with this. I think as a second cooler from ASRock, but their first round of coolers, it impressed me, and I think that all goes back to they kind of like have set this platform, at least with these two, and it's worked well for them, right? So they've made some adjustments to that radiator, to the fans, but the core of the block, the pump, the LCD, that core there has done really well as far as performance and looks and features. So again, I gave it a 9. Nope, I gave it an 8. That's right. Out of 10. We've got great idle and load. You got that LCD, factory installed fans. The VRM fan is really nice for that extra system stability. You've got the end exit fan cabling to keep things nice and tidy. But we do have three applications in order to control this, right? So you got to control the LCD with one application, your RGB with another, and then your fans with another potentially. And then you've also got a premium price here. Especially when you consider that this doesn't have any ARGB fans, it's about $215 for this AIO. And it's actually a little more than the Phantom Gaming right now, which is kind of interesting to me. And then it's just super loud at full speed, but it performs well enough that you really shouldn't have to run this thing at full speed anyways.
Yeah.
But overall, really nice.
Yeah. Really Old Man in the chat asked, did you say the Polychrome software, the same they use for the ASRock motherboards?
So Polychrome Display is what's used for the display. It's not the same software that you can use for the LEDs. However, they do have Signal RGB, which is an ASRock application that you can utilize for the lighting as well, but it still won't control the display.
The three applications, you have to use the Polychrome Display
to control the screen. Yep.
And then Polychrome
Sync for RGB LEDs.
And then what's the third one?
Your motherboard software. Okay. Or like
if you're not
fan
running
control.
If you're not running a PWM.
Correct.
Yeah. Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, and for our testing, we run it at, you know, certain set speeds and things like that. So we've got to be able to control exactly how fast they're spinning and everything.
Gotcha. Yeah. It's kind of interesting because like we've seen when it comes to software, just in general, we've seen softwares get really bloated because it has if ASRock has like a ASRock software and it supports all their different things, right? We've seen with other brands it gets really bloated. So
I'm a fan of it all in one. Like I know people hate it, but like Corsair IQ just,
it's just so good for a while.
It can be a resource hog.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing, is like, you know, this for ASRock, like having a single one might be good, but then again, it still might not, you know, yeah, you couldn't, because Polychrome, if you have an ASRock motherboard, you want the Polychrome to recognize all your, you know, so everything is in sync. So you couldn't have two apps for, they wouldn't be in sync. You know what I mean? I think Ryan's frozen. Or I could be frozen. Guys, whoever's in the chat, let me know if Ryan's frozen. He appears to be frozen on my screen, at least. I don't know if that's the case or not. Let me bring up the stream and let's see if I'm frozen or if Ryan's frozen. Let's see. It appears that Ryan's frozen. But we could be. Yep, Ryan is definitely frozen. So Ryan is frozen on the screen. So hopefully he comes back in. Yeah, guys, kind of interesting. Hopefully he didn't lose internet, or maybe he just had an issue with his system. But what I was saying is that if ASRock has Polychrome for the RGBs and then they made a single app, those wouldn't be able to communicate with each other probably, and then your stuff wouldn't all be in sync. My question, Stunlocked Ryan, yeah, it's like a fatality in Mortal Kombat. It's just ask the hard question, and Ryan just goes like this. So I assume his system locked up. That sometimes happens, especially like when you're streaming or something like that. That happens. So in any case, we'll move on to Case Mod Friday. Of course, that's where we feature a build that's been completed in the community. And this week we have the Asus AP202 water cooled, and this is from Snef Computer Design. I really like this Asus case. We've actually featured a handful of these builds from Asus, and it's just like, it's a nice little, I believe this is a micro ATX case, and it's just solid, and I love the colors. And if you've known anything about the builds that I like, I love the frosted tubing, and of course Snef does an awesome job on this. Side mount is of course used for all of these channeling, and he put this little bear on here, which I think is pretty cool as well. Using that Asus ROG water block that has the screen on it, which is really, really nice. So I really like that. There's that little bear, but I just think this is a pretty simple build, and we've seen a lot of builds in this case that don't use water cooling for the actual graphics card. So they're using, this is a Tough Gaming graphics card, but again, it is not water cooled or anything like that. So pretty cool. I definitely like this one. I just like the colors on this one. I think it just all goes together really, really well. Simple water cooling, but elegant with the frosted tubing. I'm definitely a fan of that. Oldman says the glass on the Asus case is nice. It being one. Yeah, I really like this one piece too. More brands are going to do the one piece as the tooling gets more affordable. Again, I just reviewed the MSI case that has the one piece, and yeah, the one piece is going to get a lot more popular again as like tooling and the ways to create it get more affordable. But yeah, it makes it more elegant. You don't have like a split here, which is really, really nice. You just got to be really careful when you put the panel down. I think that's the big thing as well. You have to be super careful when you put that panel down. But yeah, I really like the single piece. Just gives you full view into your system without a pillar, without, again, the panel being split. So definitely a fan of that for sure. We're like, oh, Ryan just messaged me and says internet died. I thought he got fiber, man. He's his fiber company. He got a, you know, fiber company. I don't know. And it was, I forget who he got fiber from, but I think it was a local company. So they, you know, in any case, we'll move on to, of course, we are doing a giveaway with ADATA. They hooked us up with XPG Lancer Blade 32 gigabyte DDR5. And with the price of the DDR5, you guys got to get in on this contest. I thought we would have more entries. There's only 10,000 entries in this, which is kind of crazy. We've had like contests where we get like 20,000, 30,000. So get your entries in on this. still 18 days, still a lot of time. So maybe that's why people haven't entered yet. But all you have to do is subscribe to our email newsletter, and that opens up a bunch of other ways to go ahead and get even more entries in. But we want to hook you guys up, and we told ADATA, we're like, we don't want anything else. We want DDR5 so we can get you guys some memory. If you're building a new system or doing an upgrade, that's going to be the most expensive part of your build, even sometimes more expensive than a graphics card these days with the pricing. So we have this 32 gigabyte kit to give you guys. The link, of course, is in the show notes if you want to enter. But get your entry in. 18 days left. And good luck to everybody on that one. And we'll move into news. And the interesting thing that was announced this past week is NVIDIA's... Oh, Ryan's back. Who's your internet provider?
No, it was my PC.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah, you messaged me. The internet died. So.
Well, it seemed like it did. So, anyways, carry on.
Old man says that my question
stunlocked
you. It's like a. Yeah, it's my special move. That's my fatality at the end of Mortal Kombat there. But in any case, we are on news now, Ryan. We already went over Case Mod Friday and everything. So. NVIDIA debuted this new tech called Neural Texture Compression, which essentially slashes VRAM usage without any loss in quality when it comes to the image. And they showed this demo that took textures that were 6.5 gigabytes and compressed them down to 970 megabytes. So
seems good.
Six and a half gigs to under a gig. And here's the, oh wait, that's not it. So here's the example. I mean, the picture looks exactly the same. I mean, maybe if I looked at like a super high res version of this image,
right?
Maybe. But yeah. What do you think of this?
I mean, it comes at a funny time where, yeah. You know, all this NAND is unavailable or super expensive. So it's like, hey, how could we code away the need for 16 gig cards or anything above a 16 gig card and get away with selling 8 and 16 gig cards?
The thing that's interesting about this is, I guess, is this... I didn't really read into it this much, but like this is at the hardware level. So like the game doesn't have to support it, right?
I didn't read the article or read into it past what we had. So I'm not 100% sure.
Yeah.
It uses, yeah, like Tensor Cores. I don't know. Yeah. I need to watch that video. I haven't watched that yet. I did want to watch that. But it's very cool. I wish they would, like, the image that they use there, that of that villa, to me, isn't an impressive image.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't know, but give me something with more detail or something that's crisper.
Yeah, so there is an SDK, so I guess game developers can use it. But the thing that's, like you said, this comes at a really interesting time because of the fact that, like, okay, well, you know, this is, instead of, you know, this is almost... you know, 7 gigs, right, of VRAM.
Yep.
So now instead of having, like, you know, we think that, like, the base end card, for the most part, should be 8 gigs, right?
Sure.
So now we're going to see a 4 gig card, like, that can do, with this, can do everything?
Maybe.
It's not at the, if certain games support it, then you got to be like, okay, does my game support it? Then I can get the cheaper card.
Right. Right. Yeah. If you got a game that doesn't support it. This might be a compelling option for a lot of people.
I think also you're going to see a bigger disparity in pricing, right?
Yes.
So like an 8 gig card versus a 16 gig card, that price difference is going to be pretty significant. It's not going to be like, yeah, it's not going to be like $50 difference or whatever we've seen in the past.
Yeah, just because of the price of RAM.
Yeah, so maybe this would be more compelling as like, okay, I'll get the 8 gig card. Like, you know, my game supports NTC, like, no big deal, you know?
Yep.
And again, this is another compelling thing that NVIDIA can be like, well, why would why would you buy an AMD? Why would you buy an Intel card when we have this? Yep.
So we've had the haters that call, you know, DLSS fake frames. When does this get called fake textures?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Old Man says NVIDIA has an alternative to downloading more RAM. Just download their software instead.
Kind of.
I think this is a way for them to get away with releasing like a 4 gig card in 2027. You know, based on, again, available RAM, and for 1080p gamer who, again, can use this. And I think we're going to, I honestly think we'll see a 4 gig card.
Okay.
With this, if this becomes popular and, like, you know, all the games are, you know, NVIDIA is going to push for game developers to use it, all the new titles will support it, you know, we'll get that list. Oh, you know, 30 titles supported. Oh, 60 titles supported. You know, just
I,
like
we and saw, I mean, if it looks but, just as good, why not?
Yeah. And then we'll have the 5070 4 gig or 6070 4 gig.
That just doesn't sound right.
I know. But we'll see. I think, like you said, it comes at a very interesting time.
Yeah.
Very, very interesting time. Another interesting piece of news is we talked about Elon Musk in the Terafab, which is going to be this insanely massive facility in Texas that will produce 1 million wafers a month.
A lot.
And it's all for Tesla, XAI, and SpaceX. Well, it looks like Intel has kind of signed on to the project as well, which I think makes a lot of sense for Intel, to be honest. This, I mean, it's going to be the biggest chip facility in the United States. And Intel's going to bring their expertise into it, which I'm sure, you know, Elon was looking for some, you know, a partner for this. So this makes sense for both parties. Yeah, I'm
think that's cool.
Yeah. Yeah. So we'll see what happens with that. But I think that's good for Intel, especially Intel's stock price.
For sure.
Yeah, but moving on from that, Corsair has some new Frame 4000 series cases. The original Frame 4000 has been out, and the Frame 4000 4000X RS and the Frame 4000D Wood RS. And for some reason, they're not loading on my computer.
Uh-oh.
Which is maybe now.
That's your internet.
Now's my internet. I feel like it's like a Chrome issue, because, like, here's what I'm looking at, guys. Like, the website's just loading, and I don't feel it's the website. I feel it's Chrome. I feel like because I'm streaming, so I'm streaming within Chrome. I'm, what's it called with it? Like, I'm recording this within Chrome. Like, it's just some weird
fault. You're asking a lot of a browser. Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like it's some weird fault. Like, I just don't understand. You know, because, like, even if I try to open the next story, it's like it's stuck. Well, GG's, guys.
Yeah, because I can open it from here.
Like, that's what I mean. I feel like it's like a Chrome. I wonder if I do it like incognito. Yeah, it opens up in incognito, no problem. So it's like this current browser session that I have open.
Interesting.
Yeah, let me. Yep, it's still still open. So what we're gonna do is we're gonna go to the incognito browser, bros. Let's see. We'll go to that. We'll remove that. We'll stop. We're doing all live.
Live.
Right? We're doing live. So
Pro meets RAM. Yes, it does.
Yeah, so it's probably like eating my RAM right now, but we're on the incognito now. Wait, is this... Wait, did I just share the non-incognito? I did. Oh, that's loading.
There we go.
So, in any case, Corsair has two new cases. One, like I said in the beginning of this episode, is very... what does that look like?
Yeah, looks very fractalish.
Yeah, Fractal Design North. I'm still a fan of this design. I know Fractal was the first one to do it, but we've seen multiple companies copy it. A lot of companies just like got the color wrong or got like the slats, like they just weren't spaced right. It just
right.
This one does look kind of nice, and you get two color options, a light and a dark. The case is pretty solid. Their Frame 4000D series of case is really, really like pretty solid in my opinion. So I like the, this is the, again, this talking about long product names. This is the Frame 4000D Wood RS. And here's the dark version of it. So I feel like they got the slats right, like the spacing, yep. The color.
Thickness. Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like they got it all right on that one. And then they have this other one, which is the Frame 4000X RS. And essentially it has like this different front, lot more airflow.
I'm not a fan of that. It looks like a mix between a modern case and like a early 2000s case.
Yeah. I'm not the biggest fan of this one. But I like the idea of like, you know, over the years we've seen Corsair be like, yeah, like we're going to come out with a different one with a different front panel. And they kind of never did. They're actually coming out with these now. Like sure. A different front panel, give the case like same guts, right? Same internal case, but different front panels now and like a different product that you can buy, you know, because I think we saw them come out with the different front panels, but you had to buy the regular case and you had to buy the front panel as an accessory. Now that they're coming out with like a whole different product, I like that. If you're not like, if you didn't want what the normal 4000D look like, you get the choice. So that is definitely kind of nice pricing. Let's see pricing. $129.99 on the Wood RS. I like the white one for me. Which one do you like, the dark or the white?
I like the dark one, actually.
Okay. So, dark and white on that one. Like I said, one of the better looking ones with the wood slats that I've seen. And then $139.99 on the 4000X RS. So not bad pricing on that stuff either, which is definitely nice. Now Asus has a ProArt line, right? Yeah. And they've had ProArt for a while. And ProArt, I believe, initially started with monitors. I'm almost 100% positive.
Was it? Okay.
ProArt started with monitors, and they were color accurate monitors for professionals, for people who were doing color grading and photo editing and things like that. Yep. Then it expanded, and we got ProArt motherboard. We got ProArt AIO, ProArt graphics cards, ProArt case.
I don't think there's a power supply.
Oh,
I don't think there's memory,
is
there?
Just recently, ProArt keyboard.
Yep.
And most of those products kind of make sense, right? So like if you're building like a workstation or high-end PC, you can match everything to be ProArt that's inside your system, and you can use a Asus ProArt case so everything looks the same and it's streamlined. So if somebody comes into your studio, they see this PC and it says ProArt and everything matches and looks great, right?
Yep. Yep.
That makes sense.
Absolutely.
So I'm like choking myself up. So Asus decided, well, this ProArt thing's going so well.
Slap it on to something else.
Let's slap it on a router and a switch.
Okay. Okay. Can you buy these routers and switches with the restrictions now on foreign network gear? That's a whole different story.
These are probably in before the... These probably were approved by the... What is it? FTC?
FCC.
FCC before the ban happened, I assume.
Yeah. I mean, their specs are nice, right? We get Wi-Fi 7. You've got some 10 gig, I think, right? Yeah, so the Switch has 2.5 gig and 10 gig SFPs. So I don't mind that.
I mean,
that.
It's a sleek looking router, but it's like...
I like that. I do like the look of the Switch. It is pretty cool.
It is cool, actually. I like it. Like, I love the ProArt aesthetic. I like the sleek look. And I, you know, if you put this next to your tower, it's going to look cool, like your ProArt tower, right? But what does this have to do with
ProArt NAS next?
Yeah, that would be kind of nice. I was still waiting for the Fractal Design NAS that looked like a little mini Fractal Design North. Like, that's what
I want.
Yeah, yeah. Cool. In any case, but like, what does ProArt have to do with networking?
I mean, well, I think it makes sense. You know, you got these big projects that are maybe stored on a NAS, right? And connecting to them. If you don't have direct storage for
like,
your
files. How's the spec of this any different from like a normal switch or a normal router? It's not.
I don't know that it is necessarily.
Yeah. And like, you could see, so like, there's like Asus has Republic of Gamers, and that is
exactly
gaming brand. So like, the router is gaming focused, so it has like intelligent game routing and things like that for
well game. But look, even right there in their graphic, they show talking about traffic shaping, right? You have your it's towards file type, right, as opposed to multimedia or real time. So they're going to prioritize things that help out, you know, working on files across a network and then probably transferring files to a machine. So
I mean, but like, yeah, I mean, this is just if you don't want to go in and prioritize it yourself, you could create this yourself on your own
run. Oh, absolutely. Yeah,
I'm not against this. I love the ProArt line. I just think that from what ProArt was started for, right, for creators, people who again want color accurate monitors, like, this just doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah.
But in any case, I think, like I said, I'm a fan of it. I and these might have a slight premium.
Maybe. Yeah, I was gonna say they're probably gonna have that premium for sure.
Yeah. So, but nonetheless, the Asus released that recently. Moving on to Microsoft and Windows 11. So, some of you old school people may remember the control panel. You can still use it currently.
Yeah,
I remember when I think it's like Windows 10, the settings menu came and I was like, where are all the settings? Like, I don't know where anything is. And you can still access the old school control panel. Like, you can still do it. But I think they said that's going away.
Ah, boo.
So the old school Microsoft control panel, which again, like, if you've been using versions of Windows for years, like, you knew where this was and you knew where all the things were, that you didn't have to go find anything anymore.
I mean,
So it looks like they're going to phase it out eventually, and it's coming. So they're kind of going to unify all the settings. They're just changing everything, man.
Yeah. The problem I have with the settings menu now is like, it gets you some of the very basics, but then you've still got to like click on these lines of text, and sometimes it can be confusing where it's like, is this going to take me to those advanced settings, or is this going to pop open a Edge browser to like let me learn more about this, you know? Whereas it's like, if I'm in control panel, I know that I'm going to get to the spot where I'm going to be able to adjust these settings, as opposed to, oh, here's the dumbed down menu and settings. And you end up like clicking on all these other side links to get to where you actually wanted to get, when I could just do it from control panel.
Yeah. I feel like everything's getting to a point is just making it more annoying. Like, or like, it's not like Windows from, I don't know, Windows 7, like, it's pretty intuitive to find your settings, pretty intuitive to like,
who needs this? Like, or who needs this change? Cause you know what I mean?
Yeah, I do know.
Why not? It's just leave both.
Yeah, I don't know. But apparently it's being phased out, which kind of sucks.
Give dummies the setting menu and give me the control panel.
Yeah. Oldman says he's a shortcut to control panel on his taskbar. Yeah, I mean, that's what, like,
I hit start and I start typing control and then I get what I want.
Yeah. And it says Windows makes it a pain to find any of the settings by default. Yeah, I remember, like, I had to do something and I had to get into, what's it called? I had to get into my network settings.
Oh yeah. That's
on like a laptop. that it was running Windows 11, and I was like, wait a minute, where's like my TCP IP settings? Like, where is it? It was like hard to find when you didn't, like, you know, it was just, yeah. But that's something that Microsoft is doing. And then somebody decided to make a sort of visual graph of all the AI products or all the Copilot products that Microsoft makes. And this was done by a guy by the name of, where is it? Tay Bannerman, which sounds like a fake name, but it's his real name. Here's the essentially 80 Copilot products currently and how they're all connected.
Wow.
And this is only going to get bigger.
Yeah, yeah.
And I have this, I wouldn't say it's stupid, but I have this keyboard that has a damn Copilot button and I accidentally hit it. Whoops. A couple times, and I'm just like, get this off, like, get away,
go away. Yeah.
Do you use any AI features in Windows?
No.
Neither do I.
Nope. The Copilot icon is gone. Like, I don't even think. Let me look here.
I noticed this the other day. I think I don't know how long it's been here, but if I like right click on an image. Now, so I'm on my computer. Let me see if I can't share this. But if I right click on my computer or like on an image and then there's AI actions. So it's in my file explorer now. It's like visual search with Bing, blur background with photos, erase objects with photos, remove background with paint. But those are the AI actions I now have. And then there's an Ask Copilot button as well. Or
I do have Ask Copilot option, yeah.
Yeah, but I have AI actions now on mine, which is weird. I right click on an image. I mean, like I said, this is like the direction that we're going, but this is like, if I was a business, you know, who like heavily uses Microsoft, like this is annoying. Like this is, what does all this do? You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's a lot. Well, and like, I feel like you could integrate Copilot without calling everything Copilot. Like, sure, add the icon or just like make it more natural so that it just kind of, I don't know, it feels like it's still being called out too much.
Yeah, it's like they're really trying to sell it.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, like Microsoft Copilot Studio. Why don't you just call it Microsoft Studio? Or like Microsoft 365 Copilot. Why don't you? It's probably because it's the upsell. Like, you know what I mean? Like you can have Microsoft 365 or you can have Microsoft 365 Copilot that has the AI features that is instead of paying $9.99 a month for Microsoft 365, you're going to pay $15.99 a month for the Copilot version or whatever it is.
You know what I mean? Yep. Sure.
Yeah, kind of there's too much AI going on for me. But two more pieces of news. So OnePlus, and they make really great phones. They make, like I said, I have a pair of their earbuds and I have a pair of their overhead headphones, and they're really, really nice. It looks like they're going to enter the handheld gaming arena. And this is a really interesting handheld. This is not going to be a Windows-based one. It appears it's going to be Android, and it appears it has cameras.
Okay. I mean, that seems smart to me.
Well, from what I've read is that it is going to be Android-based. So it's going to be an Android-based mobile gaming handheld.
Sure.
I mean,
it looks an awful lot like a thicker phone with the button layout and where the camera placement is.
Yeah, thicker phone, button layouts, and maybe they just added the cameras on there I don't know. So maybe it is maybe it's just like a gaming phone.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, the grips on the bottom, though, the way they stick out
past the edge of the phone, though,
like that to me would be an odd shape. But I mean, they've got, like you said, they've got a history of building phones, right, and good phones. So I'm sure they're utilizing that to to their advantage here.
Omen says need camera for digital ID, maybe. Yeah.
Don't give them ideas.
I know, right? Yeah. Yeah.
It's neat. I'm not their target audience.
Yeah.
These could be cool.
Yeah.
I had a OnePlus phone for a little while.
Yeah, I like their products. I like their product design too. I'm a big fan of their product design. So interesting there. And then this is like long overdue. It looks like Steam's going to introduce an FPS estimator to predict game performance before purchase. So Steam will do an FPS estimator. So you can put in, I guess, your system specs, or it will read your system specs. Somebody pulled it from the code. And it will, you know, you pull up a game, Cyberpunk, and maybe you select your, or maybe it will just like give like 1080p, 4K. I don't know how it's going to come out, but.
Yeah, I mean, this to me should be more like, I shouldn't even have to do any of this. I should be able to open up Steam, go to a games page, and Steam already knows my hardware, and it should just give me like a little color code. If it's green, it's going to be like 60 FPS and above. And then if it's below that, it'd be like a yellow, or, you know, like just do it automatically for me.
Yeah.
And maybe it will. Who knows?
Hopefully this will be coming soon. Somebody pulled it from the code, so it's not in there yet. I mean, this just gives you a good idea. I always like stuff like that. I always liked how if you ran 3DMark back in the day, it would like say like you're going to get this much in Battlefield, or you're going to get this much in whatever. So yeah, I definitely like that. You do run into some issues, or like maybe some legal issues where like, oh, Steam said it.
If you say that it will, right?
Yeah, so I don't know how they would navigate that, because there's crazy people out there that'd be like, oh, you said it, I get a 60 FPS, but I have like they're like me. I have like 4 Chrome tabs open, and I'm using like 22 gigs of VRAM.
Yeah. I mean, I think this is cool. Like I said, I think it should be automatic. Same thing with like the system requirements. Like Steam shows them what they are, and like you should be able to be like, that should be one of the, I guess, if you don't own the game, on that little side panel, it should show like your system meets the minimum specifications. Yeah. Your system meets the recommended specifications, right? Like that should just boom, already be populated.
Yeah. Oldman says Steam putting out new features is why gamers prefer it over Epic. People still use Epic?
I still vacuum up the games. Not as often as we were for a while, but
yeah. I haven't downloaded a game off there in a while. But that is it for news this week. Coming up next week, 2 MSI coolers, 1 air, 1 liquid. So I'll be taking a look at, I don't know if this is their first air cooler, but it is the only one that there is currently on their website. I don't remember them having air coolers as far as I can remember.
I feel like they have, because I think that like Steve at Gamers Nexus used to use one for their like their
maybe
review system.
Yeah, okay. But this is their entry level air cooler. It's like $23. So it's a very good contender of the Cooler Master Hyper 212. Single fan, single tower, ARGB fan. It's actually in the system that's right over here, because I'm currently testing it. So I'll have that for you guys next week. See if it's worth picking up over, say, like the Cooler Master. And when it comes to like installation and everything like that, we'll go over all of that for you guys. And then Ryan's taking a look at the Magcore Liquid A12-240. And this is this like more their entry level, the A12?
Yeah.
Okay. So this is sort of like an entry level 240. We're getting to some 240s. Ryan has a couple 240s into review. Who would you say that 240 is for?
I mean, I think some of those MATX cases that only support 2 120mm fans is a good option. I don't recommend, if you've got a case that supports a 360 up top, I always recommend going to the 360. Like, the price difference between the two is usually not enough to justify dropping down to a 240. But yeah, I think there's a lot of cases that maybe just only support two, or maybe they support three up top, but two in the front, and you want to get that cooler intake air as opposed to using some of the pre-warmed air to push through the radiator. That's typically where I've seen them used.
Since we're going to get some 240s in our review,
it'll be interesting to see.
Yeah, interesting to see the difference. Maybe we see a difference. We'll see. But Ryan will be taking a look at that as well. So stay tuned for those next week. And then for our question of the week, you asked me because I was just so busy. I've been so busy. Were you excited at all about the Artemis II launch? Any of the news surrounding it? Any of that? If you're not familiar, that's going to see the moon.
Yeah, going around the moon. Oh, don't even.
I saw so many like conspiracy theory things about it. Yeah. But yeah, it's cool. It's like, I don't know if, like I said, I was just so busy, and then I did rewatch like part of the launch and stuff.
Yep. I watched it live. That's kind of nerve wracking, to be honest. Like, because NASA doesn't do as much testing as like a SpaceX, right? SpaceX, you watch them launch these rockets early on, especially, and you see all these failures, and that was part of their planning, right? SpaceX plans to lose these machines. They expect them to blow up, and they learn from it, right? NASA doesn't work on that model necessarily of like, here's a test launch, let's fix what didn't work. Here's another test launch. Like, they'll do one, maybe two, and then they're like, all right, we've like spent enough time and money and ran through it that we're putting humans on it. And so to me, that's like super, I don't know. I was very anxious watching.
Okay.
Thankfully, launch was great. The worst troubles they've had so far. And I don't want to jinx it because they're not going to be back for another couple days, but they had a couple issues with their toilet and some frozen.
I believe it comes down over San Diego, right?
I don't know if it crosses the U.S., on its return, but it does come down in the Pacific. They went around the moon, went around the dark side on Monday, and
that's where the aliens are.
They haven't shared a ton of like images of that side. They have shared some, but yeah, no, I was super excited about it. It's really cool.
Yeah pretty cool, and it gets your mind off like there's all the other stuff going on in the world right now, so it kind of like is a something to keep your mind off all of that if you're into any of that other stuff. I wasn't paying attention to anything. I was just super busy with all the content that we're putting out. But anything else tech related that you wanted to talk about or that you did? I started watching. I only watched like 15 minutes of it, so that's not even like. I watched. It's a movie about the BlackBerry story. It's on Netflix. Okay. But I was like 15 to, like minutes into it, so
I think I saw some clips of
that. Yeah.
Does it also involve like when the iPhone comes out?
Definitely didn't get that far. So I'm like back in 96, like in the, it's not a documentary. It's like a movie about that, you know.
Is it from 2023?
Probably. Yes.
And it's called BlackBerry. I think so. Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, it's called BlackBerry. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So I think I've seen some clips on it that was pretty funny.
So it's supposed to be a comedy. Humorous. Yeah, it's supposed to be funny.
Yeah. Jay Baruchel. Yep.
Yeah. So it, like I said, it I don't know. I like I always like when they come out with stuff about tech, about like especially tech that like we lived through. You know what I mean?
Well, like what was the social? What was that called? The Facebook
social experiment.
Movie. Yeah, that was pretty good, right? And kind of
there was the other
NASA
one
into it.
I didn't watch the one that was about Uber.
I haven't seen that one.
I watched the one about WeWork. That was really good. I'm trying to think. I watched. Oh, what was that? There's the one about Spotify was really good.
Yeah.
And then there was another one. about HP or something. That one was really good too. That one was actually really good.
Tech documentaries, huh?
They weren't even talking about like the one about it. I think it was HP or one of the. It was not a documentary. It was like a show. Same that the Spotify one was like a show based on the story of how it started. Like, and yeah, they've been good. So,
cool.
So yeah, but that's gonna wrap it up. We went a little bit longer, an hour and 20 minutes on this one. So
yep.
Well, Ryan did lose his internet or his computer failed. So
PC, yeah.
Yeah. So are we gaming tonight?
Yeah. For a bit, yeah.
All right, so we're going to be doing some gaming over on Twitch. That's where we run our stream, twitch.tv/thinkcomputers. Ryan runs that stream. Hopefully his computer will keep up so we don't have any more crashes. Oh, I guess we're doing Apex?
Yeah, sure. Yeah,
yeah. Do some Apex Legends over there, so definitely follow us over there if you want to keep on hanging out. We had Old Man in the chat, and we had Kenneth in the chat. Good to see you guys in the live chat. And, of course, everybody that listens later, and we will see everybody next week.